حضرت Bayezid Bastami, rahmatullah alayh, this was his era, his generation. And one event occurred during that time. Hazrat Bayezid Bastami, rahmatullah alayh, he was a great, from the great pious elders, he was from amongst the great walis of Allah. And his status, his maqam, amongst the awliyaullah is just like, for example, amongst the angels, the status of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. Great shaykh he was, with a great status. And he himself stated that if an individual for 200 years is in the garden of Marifah, Allah's Marifah, and then he goes and finds a flower and breaks it, Allah Ta'ala gave to me this status right in the beginning, right at the start. He had such a great status. He was a great wali of Allah. And what can we state about him? The kitabs or books are filled with his mention. And alhamdulillah, Naqshbandi silsila, he is the sixth wali of Allah, buzurg, pious elder in our silsila, chain of sheikhs. And his fares, blessings, is distributed through the silsila and chain of mashayikh. And it arrives to us, his blessings. You know, the pious elders in our silsila, in our chain of mashayikh, going all the way through, their fares distributes and arrives. And until Qiyamah, all the murids and students, whether they're men or women, both of them, the fares of the teachers, the mashayikh, arrives to the students. That's why it's called shajara, the chain, the connection, because the pious elders, they say to their murid students that regularly read the shajara mubarakah, because there's a lot of barakah, blessing in the chain, and their names, you mentioned their names were very great, mashallah. And they were pious elders and the friends of Allah. And as I've said to you before, that this majlis is a specific and special majlis of tasawwuf. That's why I'm mentioning these points, that there are some people sat here maybe not aware of this. Our topic will be a little bit different, alhamdulillah. This is the other form and method of tabligh. We speak more about tasawwuf in this gathering. And dhikr, adhkar, the friends of Allah, the walis of Allah, we speak about them. Because after Isha, this place becomes a khanka, subhanallah. So this is the environment of the khanqah, and mashallah, you come here as well and you sit here for the dhikr of Allah. That's why you've come, isn't it, brothers? So the rest, the whole of the week, there's tabligh here, propagation of the in hadith and lectures, alhamdulillah. Fairs is distributed, ulama, respected scholars. So as fakirs, we get the Thursday night, because the Thursday night is the day for the fakirs, the humble servants. So we assemble and we sit and we talk about the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah. Just like I said, that the status of the walis of Allah, that a word came out of my mouth, that Hazrat Bayezid rahmatullah was his generation. And what does it mean by his generation? That in every era, in every generation, the awli Allah, the friends of Allah, are present in every generation and era until Qiyamah. Totally, there will never be an era that is devoid of the walis of Allah. There's a proof of this from the hadith, that until Qiyamah does not come. Qiyamah will not come until there's a person who continues to say Allah, Allah, Allah. This is dalil, proof. The friend of Allah will be present. As long as the friend of Allah, when he doesn't disappear, then Allah Ta'ala says, due to that, the dunya will be existent. And that's how the dunya will continue. Food and nourishment and rain will fall, and the rivers will flow, and the seas will continue, and there will be chickens, and they will give eggs, and there will be the honeybee, and the honey will be produced due to one person who has the connection with Allah. If you think yourself that the walis of Allah, how much power they have, the friends of Allah, how much Allah, due to his friends, Allah Ta'ala gives goodness to the rest of the creation. Who are the friends of Allah? Those who try. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. They're not some special select. There's no special select ibadah for the walis of Allah. Open field. Whoever controls his nafs, whoever controls his ego, and who assigns his desires over to Allah and crushes his own personal desires and makes his life what Allah Ta'ala wants, he says, I'll become that. That's it. That's the wali of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala then announces that this is my beloved servant. He's become my beloved servant. Yeah? So there's no specific level or status, or it has to be this silsala, or there's a differentiation or specialized, or it can be this person, it can't be that person, he can be wali Allah, he can be wali Allah. There's no precondition. Allah says, have iman in me, believe in me, believe in my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's it. That's the main condition. Whoever said La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, whoever recited that and took all of the Quran in one hand and the Hadith in the other hand, then in his life, and he has the mujahid on what point? That he crushes his own desires and he comes into the preference of Allah. And that is the function of a person. Try that yourself. Do that yourself. And you set forth on that path, immediately Allah Ta'ala's doors will open. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says that this person is walking on the right path. He's come onto the right track. He has understood his objective. That this is impure, something that's around us, and also something within us, nafsi ammara, the low base desires are impure. They don't let the human being progress towards goodness. Just like a chicken lays eggs. Yes, and then, for example, there's the honeybee, and that produces also honey. And same way, when we have the nafs, if we don't utilize it correctly, then it creates bad effects. That's why the insan, his bad desires never end. First, he'll have a desire, I'll get this shop, then I'll get a bigger shop, oh, then get this car, then get another car, bigger car, get a new model, new brand. Reason? Because nafsi ammara, the base, low-level desires, that it keeps on multiplying the desires and the wants and the needs. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهَمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. Allah says that the diseases in their hearts, illness, they keep on multiplying and increasing and spreading. But a jama'ah, a group of people Allah Ta'ala has created, who I have understood the points of the Quran, and their way is that Allah Ta'ala said that there's a straightforward, clear path. They believe in Allah, and after that, crush your desires. Grab hold of your ego, your nafs. And if we don't do this, we don't control our nafs, and we keep on running after everything around us, then that person's a failure. Because everything that around us that we run after, all the ibadat we do, will be due to my desires. I'll be doing those things. Allah says that wake up in the morning for Fajr. Nafs will say, leave it, yaar. Fajr, we pray at Zuhr time. Allah says, come to the masjid, hasten to the masjid. Nafs says, no, I'll pray at home. I'll pray at home. Yes, everywhere the nafs will oppose, and the nafs will even give dalil. It will make you believe it's a deceit, the nafs. He has power, strength. Allah has given strength to the nafs. So Allah Ta'ala says, there's not a minor tussle that Allah says, when you meet me, then I will meet you. It's not a minor tussle, not a minor clash. For example, you have to make a house. All your life long, you work hard physically to make a house. I'm going to save up money. I'll construct a house. Then I'll put decorations in there. What for? What's your destination? To make a house. And the person who wants to get to Allah, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Will you just get to Allah just by doing nothing? Am hasibtum, Allah says, adkhulul jannah. Will you just enter into paradise without doing anything? With ease? With no hard work? No striving? No effort? Allah says, no hard work. Just your nafs, your ego within you. Work hard on that, Allah says. That's the biggest struggle. The struggle, yes, more than the physical effort. Because when you work hard on your inner self, when you drown into your inner self and understand yourself, you have to drown into that state. You have to understand it, realize it, identify it, recognize it. You have to crush your desires, crush your wants. You have to kill off your desires and wants, because your desires and wants, they will not disappear just like that. And with speed, they'll tell you it was wrong. And it's not just that, for example, today, if you suppress a desire, then it won't come again. It will come up again. It will bubble up again. Until death, this fight, this clash with the desires we can do, this is mujahada. This is trying. This is where you're fighting with your nafs, about which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this jihad is greater than the other forms of struggle. All other struggles and fights are nothing, but the fight with the nafs is every second with the human being, every moment, every second. And a person who's shaheed in this battle with the nafs, he is the high grade shaheed. The common person who has a clash and he passes away, he's gone. He's got the darja of shahada and the jannah has opened up for him. He is a shaheed. But the shaheed of the nafs, he who gives his life for struggling with the nafs. There's a very good poem in Farsi. What can I say to a person who passed away? A wali of Allah, he passed away after hearing this couplet, this poem. Fantastic poem. That every second of a mu'min, the person who gives his all to fight the nafs, says, do this wrong, do that. Every second, every moment, the desires of the nafs, he's crushing them. And he's standing on them. And he's trying to kick them away. Every second he's crushing his desires. Every second his darajat is being increased. So this is the path to become wali Allah. There's no stamp on a person's forehead. Only he can be wali Allah. Only he can be wali Allah. He can't. Only the people of Manchester. Only the people of Bolton. Only the people of Pakistan or Saudi Arabia. No such precondition. Not only white people, only black people, only yellow people, only men or no women. No. Allah says, whoever follows my way and comes onto the right path and he aligns his desires to my preference, say subhanallah. What does he become? Radiyallahu anhum. Allah says, Allah is pleased with that person. Forever Allah Ta'ala is pleased with that person. And such is Allah's pleasure with that person. Allah calls his angel, Jibreel, who is the biggest, greatest angel. And he says, Allah, my Rabb, what is your order? Allah says, in that corner of the world, there's a person sat down. He has assigned his desires to me and crushed his own personal desires. Nobody knows him. Nobody recognizes him. Nobody is aware of him. He has no title. He has no laqab. He has no identification that he is a good person. No uloom and no knowledge. He's no master of knowledge. Just one message he understood in life, that I will accept what Allah Ta'ala said. I will not follow the desires of my nafs. The one. What do we do? Or we'll do everything according to our desires. My nafs has to come with me. We say, somebody called out that I want dunya and deen. I want dunya and deen. We hear this regularly today. No, we need both things. We don't want strictness. We want dunya and we want deen. What sort of concept is this? What parda, people say? What parda? What hijab? Hijab of the eyes, people say. So these are terms that shaitan has created, our nafs has created today. These are terminologies that arise due to our desires. Don't follow the desires, follow sharia. Follow the deen. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made so easy that the most easy path from all the paths of the world, the ways of the world, is the way to Allah. But by not doing it, because we say we don't want to do it, then because we have made it the hardest way ourselves. Allah wali, oh no, I can't become wali Allah. It's so hard to become wali Allah. How can I be a friend of Allah? The friends of Allah, they're fantastic, supernatural people. They have this and that, they do this. They'll have titles and they do these actions. Allah ta'ala says that I am near to that person, my qurb is with that person who is the most minor of people. Most minor of people. Such walis of Allah passed away. They didn't even read the Quran. But when they crushed their desires and came into walaya, when they stood, then the angels would stand in front of them with the Quran and they would take the mistakes out of the people who are leading. Because Allah has promised that rada, my rada is the real objective. You need to please me. And the biggest ibadah for that is that a person should crush his desires. So this was in the topic of today. I don't know where I've gone. I was about to say something else and I've spoken about this today. So think, what was I talking about in the beginning? Because my mind's gone out today. Out of line. Hazrat Bayezid Bastami, rahmatullah alayhi, was an incident, an event about a waliyullah. Yes, I was talking about his era. And that there's no era, no generation that passes which is empty, devoid of a wali of Allah. Every generation of mankind has a wali. And I gave you the dalil from hadith. Yes, there's a wali, a friend of Allah. And if he says, stop everything, and everything will stop, then when Allah Ta'ala raises him from the world, then the whole world will be destroyed at that time. This is the end of time we're talking about. The dunya will disappear. The person who was remembering Allah, pleasing Allah, when he goes, now just people here are just eating, drinking, they don't care about nothing else but dunya, nothing else. There's nobody left here who's remembering Allah. Says, then the world will end. Allah says, I have no link with this world. Allah Ta'ala will make the world evaporate. Look, verses that have been revealed, that the mountains will become like cotton wool and the oceans will disappear and the moon, the sun will break and the stars will fall to the ground. We won't even realize. Look at the power of the wali Allah, the friend of Allah, who due to his being and existence, the cycles of life continue. Why? Just because he accepted Allah's guidance and he crushed his desires. A person doesn't become a wali Allah from any other action, only from one action. What has Allah said? Ask anyone. He doesn't ask anyone in the world. He asks his heart. What has Allah said about this? This is haram, unlawful. Don't do this. No, we're in the new age. We have to follow the age. That was a different age. This is the new age. All of the ages are the same. All of the eras are the same. All of the generations are the same. And what is that generation? The whole generation until Qiyamah is the generation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Every generation in the history of mankind is the generation of Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's no changing of times and peoples and thinking. No. Every era and generation, there's only one from the time of the beginning. Allah said, oh my Mahbub sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I made this world for you. The heavens and earth were made for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't make anything, Allah says. I wouldn't make anything. Tell me. And my beloved, that as long as your beloveds are in the world, then I will not destroy this world, Allah Ta'ala said. When your beloveds disappear, when those who believe in you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when those who follow you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, disappear, Allah says, then I will make this world finish. No sun, no moon, nothing. Everything will end. Like animals, they will disappear. They won't even realize where they have gone. They'll disappear. So this is the power Allah has given to human being to become a wali Allah. What you don't need nothing, you only need one thing, is to control your desires, crush your desires. Every era is the era of Allah and His Rasulullah. Every era is His, nothing else. In every generation, every year, every decade, you say, I have to believe in Allah and follow Allah. That's it. Why do changes come in the world? The changes come because Allah Ta'ala has given us exams and challenges. Yes, to fight. For our nafs to invite. So we do half and we leave half. We'll make our parents, then we won't do this. We won't make a character, we won't make a khalaq. We can't live our lives like this. We can't succeed like this. Half this, half that. A person doesn't become due to dhikr, a human being. A human being isn't made by due to dhikr. Dhikr, it assists a person, it enables a person. Dhikrullah, it enables a person. Look here, Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh, he said a beautiful in his maktubat. He used to write to me and give me nasiha, my sheikh, my teacher, rahmatullah alayh, may Allah ta'ala give him ala maqam, high maqam in Jannah, and give him rahmah and mercy and amongst his friends. Hazrat Sahib said that dhikr at that time becomes successful when you become that person who believes in Allah, otherwise your dhikr is a waste. Yes, dhikr gives you power, it's a boost, it enables. It enables, it's a light, it's a guide. Dhikr, it shows you the path, it shows you the way. It makes you awake. It's not just the end. You've done dhikr and I've become a wali Allah. No, I've done tasbih 1,000, I'm a wali Allah. No. I've done this, no, I'm a wali Allah. No. Wali Allah is only that person who's a friend of Allah. Within him, the dhikr has taken effect and he assigns himself over to Allah. Yes, I give you examples regularly like this. The wali Allah, those who became walis of Allah, I see with my eyes that this is the path. Yes, this is the path. This is haram. Okay. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And they put their hands on their head. Why? It's become haram. How much do I have to leave? Yes. How much? Millions, millions of rupees. Not one or two. Many millions. He said, give me one night. It's a personal experience of a person I saw who improved. He said, give me one night, Hazrat Sahib. I have to make a decision. I said, fine, take that night to think about it. He said, any other way? I said, no. Whatever is haram, you'll have to leave. He said, okay. Next day he came. He said, I've left everything. I've shunned everything. He said, I've left everything. Alhamdulillah. On that decision, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced that from today he is my beloved servant, this person. And I saw with my eyes that the connection that he had them with Allah. What the person's connection becomes. The relationship with Allah. How Allah elevates the person. As a Jibreel is called. That person, my servant, he's sad. Nobody knows him. He's not famous. The poor soul, he's nothing. He's not even known. Go. Go and announce his name and announce in the heavens, in the skies, from today he's the friend of Allah. He's become the friend of Allah. Subhanallah. Yes, total introduction to the whole world and the creation and creatures. And he doesn't even know the human being. He doesn't know. In his control is all the animals and the lions and the animals. Wherever he goes, they lower themselves. They go behind him. So many events, incidents you will have heard and read. They're not magicians. They're not magicians, the walis of Allah. They have accepted what Allah Ta'ala has given and ordained. They have obeyed. They have submitted. They considered haram. What Allah said is haram. They don't present excuses. No barriers, no hurdles. They don't take the dunya and bring it in front and say, oh, we can't do this. Or what will happen now if I follow this? This will happen, I'll be finished. No, this is all a drama, deception. These are all veils and curtains that detach you from Allah. Make you lazy, negligent. So there's no generation of mankind that's devoid of wali Allah. I'll give you another example so we can understand. That there's no era in the mankind that's devoid of Waliyullah. In every era, in every place of Waliyullah is present, because the world has a need for Waliyullah of Allah. Mankind, remember, body and soul are two things. Pay attention to what I'm saying so you'll understand what I'm saying. Body and soul. Ruh, the soul and the body. And both are connected to each other, aren't they? Both, they are like each other, similar to each other, aren't they? The body is hungry, we run. Morning food, afternoon bread, evening meal, dinner, I'm hungry, tea, I'm hungry, do this. We keep on working, and demands of the body Allah Ta'ala has put there. So when there's a demand of the body physically, wherever a human being goes, then Allah says, your rizq, your wealth will run after you, say subhanallah. So you can be nourished. You go to the bank of the river, Allah says, fine, your rizq will come. Allah Ta'ala allowed fish to be born into the river, in the water. Put your hand in, take the fish, eat it. Allah says, no worries, I will provide for your needs. And if you farm on the earth, you sit under the tree, the fruit will grow, it will drop, and you will eat the fruits. Allah has provided for the physical body. You're in the jungle and you hunt. Here's the animal. Here's this animal. You hunt them. So Allah has provided the food for the physical body. Allah says you have to keep the body alive physically. So Allah gives the food to make it alive. Don't you suck the mangoes? Before, people didn't even know what were mangoes. People didn't even know. Yes, you know jamun, the fruit that grows on the tree. How do people eat them? They don't even know what is a jamun. How will it get to me? It's England. Allah says the tree is growing somewhere else in the world. Yeah? In Baruch, the jamun is another species, and it will go across the seas to England, will be packed, and a person living in the UK will eat this fruit. So he'll say, you're going, the mango will say to the jamun, you're going to England, and they don't even know where they will be consumed, because the people who are here in this country, Allah says, right, that fruit will come after you, so you can eat it. No, we eat these vegetables. All vegetables you used to eat in Baruch, you'll attain them here. With enjoyment, you'll eat them here, Allah says. Yes, there will be mounds. You go in the morning, eat them. Allah will open the shops everywhere. 50 years ago, when, for example, your forefathers came here, they didn't even know the poor brothers or people that will eat this food. And today, your children are eating with enjoyment. Rather, they're importing, exporting those fruits. Business. Say subhanallah. Why? Because it's the needs of the body. So what did Allah Ta'ala do? Whatever the body needed, Allah Ta'ala gave it, provided. Now the ruh, the soul is higher than the body. It is the real objective of life to improve the ruh. Because the body, when we die, we go into the soil, it will be decomposed. But the ruh, the soul will continue. Does that not need food? Does the soul not have a food? A sustenance? There is. Allah says, wherever the mu'min goes, then the body, it needs the soul. That just like the body needs food, the soul of the Muslim, wherever he goes, Allah says, there will be Masjid Zakariya. For example, people come and see that masjid. And their pockets, Allah says, the money will come out of their pockets to make the masjid. Allah says, everybody will leave and only the dhakireen will remain. Everyone, Allah says, go. Angels say, come on, go. Your time's finished. They're all going, running away from the majlis. But others are coming. Some are still coming. Why? Because those who are coming, they're coming with dhikr. Those who are going, they're leaving dhikr. Subhanallah. So this is Allah's glory. Could anyone think 100 years ago that here there was a church? There was a church here. And that church, a masjid will be constructed, it will be decorated, a carpet will be laid, heaters will run, and then mashallah, there will be salah, taraweeh, masjid will be filled. Allah Ta'ala says, such a gathering in my name of dhikr, that 7,000 people will be sent there to do my dhikr in a gathering. Say subhanallah. That's how Allah is transformed. Because the ruh needs food. It needs sustenance, provision. The ruh, the soul. The Quran will go with those people in parallel. There won't be that many people in the masjids. The amount of Qurans we have on the shelves. Every color. Because it's the food for the ruh, the soul. Allah provides for the soul. Isn't it? Isn't this the case? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He can prepare the food for the soul, then the greatest provision and sustenance for the ruh is the wali Allah. Without the wali Allah, there could be no provision for the ruh. So Allah says, how can I then leave the world devoid of wali of Allah? Rather, before the masjids, before the Quran, Allah Ta'ala created and sent the wujud, the physical being of the wali Allah, into that environment. Then He does the work of the deen. The wali Allah. People see the wali Allah and assemble, they gather. The spirituality, there's a spread of the connection. Say subhanallah. Why? Because the ruh, Allah Ta'ala says, I've prepared the food for the ruh all over the world. People, they study in Hindustan, in Indian subcontinent, yeah, in Dabel, and they're reading their kitabs. They don't even know that I'm studying here 50 years before, but that same child will go where? He'll go and teach in England to people. He will teach in England. And Quran he will recite there, and he will prepare there, because the food, the provision for the souls has to arrive to the people. So without the walis of Allah, there's no survival without the walis of Allah. More than the other things we've discussed, they're the higher level. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this generation is here. What was that generation? There was the generation of Hazrat Bayazid Bastami rahmatullahi. And when the wali of Allah is present, that's why, just like Hazrat Sahib, my Shaykh rahmatullah, was present, that was his generation. It was his era. Everywhere. That's why he stated that every time when fares and blessings spread to the dunya, nur is due to that wali of Allah who's present there. Let me tell you, explain this point to you. Yes, physically and spiritually, rain, winds, all of these natural resources are due to the barakah of the wali of that time. I can give you dalil of this as well. Not thousands I can give. Due to the body of that wali Allah who's living at that time, many storms, they stop. Many disasters stop. Many calamities stop. Many sicknesses stop. Many diseases stop. So Allah Ta'ala keeps the body of that wali Allah in existence to prevent those diseases and for rahmas to come. Okay, now the point here is we need to understand that only those people can take benefit from that wali Allah. Only those individuals can take the benefit who have that passion and desire within them. They know they want to get close to Allah. They want to get to the pleasure of Allah. They want to get to the objective of Allah's nearness. They are the ones who recognize that wali Allah. He's present. You know, people say, oh, they're hidden. He's hidden here. We can't see him. Why can't you see him? Why can't you identify him? If you raise your hands and do dua to Allah, Allah, please send me to a friend of yours, a wali Allah. Yes, not to get a son, not for your worldly needs, Allah, because I want the path to get to you. Ihdinas sirat al-mustaqim. Allah, I want that path, Allah. Which path? Ihdinas sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladhina anamta alayhim ghayril maghdubi alayhim ul-addali. Allah, want that straight path, Allah, give to me. It shouldn't meet with them, it shouldn't meet with them. It should meet with who? Allah, with Imam Al-Anbiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, every practice of mine action should become like his. So what a great path he's asking for. Allah says, okay, fine, you want that path, that you've asked the right thing, for the good thing, go to this part of the world. My friend is sitting there, go and say salam to him, and you will be successful. You will never lose out from his company. So, because the wali Allah is present in every age and era, the wali Allah, the friend of Allah, from him the goodness reaches to the world. But we even when we go to find a wali Allah, it's to fulfill our desires. Even then our nafs comes in front. To become a wali ourselves, we run out to the walis of Allah. We say, oh, we've got thousands of needs. Allah is at the back of the queue. Astaghfirullah. We go, oh, do this for me. Oh, I want this to become easy in my life. Can you pray this for me? Do this dua for me. Do dua for me. Thousands of needs we will go to. Take this benefit of the world, that benefit of the world, and they keep on taking the benefits of the world, but they don't get the benefit of the akhirah. Yes, 50 years, 60 years, they keep sitting, but they're earning the dunya. The dunya, everything of their life, they assign for the dunya. They want to keep on filling the treasure chest of the dunya, because they haven't come to the wali Allah's company for the sake of Allah. But the wali Allah's physical body, even due to his excellence, the blessings come into that person's dunya. But our maqsad is a very small maqsad, minor objective. Such a great personality, you're making friendship with him, a connection with him, so that you can attain dunya? That doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Upside down situation. You should crush your desires and assign yourself to Allah. So the first condition when you go to wali Allah's company is, I only want one thing, and I can only get that from this company of the Shaykh. I don't want shops or business or anything else. If I get Allah, then I'll get everything else. Yes? So we want that noor, that light. What is that light? The Allah Ta'ala, just as you are happy, I am happy. Whatever you're happy with, I'm happy. Then sickness comes, I'm happy. If my business goes down, I'm happy. Yes, if poverty comes to me, I'm happy. Hard times come, I'm happy. Allah, I will follow your rada, your preference. The person who follows Allah's preference is the richest of the people. Let me tell you this. Whoever's happy with what Allah's given, then most of all, because the person who's happy with what Allah's given, even the king, he stays in depression, distress, I want this, I want that. Even the king is down mentally. But a fakir, humble servant of Allah, is happy because he's happy with whatever Allah's happy with. Yes, Allah, you gave me poverty, you gave me problems, you gave me difficulties. I'm happy, Allah, with what you've given me. You are my Rabb, you are my Lord. I know there's hikmah of yours in this, it's your preference. And because I want to follow your straight path, Allah, and you can never punish me for me doing the right, it's just between me and my love, so I will give up everything of my dunya conditions. So this is the straight path for wilayat, for friendship of Allah. So even there we play games to find the wali Allah. First we'll look at the conditions of the world, then we'll go to him and put forward our conditions. Anyway, khair. So this is the point that the walis of Allah, their physical being in the world is a great fact indeed. And they're everywhere. Don't remain empty handed. In every village, in every locality Allah will have sent a wali Allah. Open your eyes. The eyes of what? That lower your desires and increase your desire to attain Allah's nearness. When you do dua like this, the Allah close the eye of my base desires that runs after the dunya. And Allah open my eyes that goes towards your path. Allah give me the guide. Allah give me God. Then don't be sad. He's gone, that's gone, this is gone, I've lost that in the dunya. No. Very precious thing Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Extremely precious thing Allah has given to us, which is life. Life. So many du'as you should make for life. Allah give me that life. Keep me alive that long, Allah. Every second, every moment, every second, Allah give me life in this way that I can stay alive for the objective that you created me for. Make this du'a. Make this du'a. Don't waste your seconds of life, your breaths over minor, silly, small things. We are wasting a massive, monumental treasure. Yes, that person who follows his desires and lusts 100 years, 60, 70 years Allah gives to people. And we just run after the dunya. We finish our life just for the dunya. My brothers, this is not the case. Suppress your desires. Suppress your desires. What does it mean, suppress your desires? Allah, we're happy. Allah, whatever you give, we're happy with that. Just Allah, make us busy and occupied in your raza, in your pleasure. And we should accept this and embrace this way of life. So then, the wali of Allah, his fares comes to you. His blessings, look for him. Seek a wali. Don't sit here. Sitting, oh, I have to go to India, I have to go to another part of the world. No, no, you don't need to do that. Allah Ta'ala knows. Allah knows the desire of the world. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to put us into difficulty, extreme difficulty, just to find his friend's company. Alhamdulillah. I've seen to this extent, a person says, Allah, I don't want a wali Allah in some other town. Give me a wali Allah in this same town. Allah Ta'ala then introduces him to wali Allah in his town. Allah is Kareem, generous. He knows that it's hard for him to travel, and he's stuck in this and that of the world. Allah says, in his own same town I'll prepare for him, because his niyyah is honest, he's sadiq, he's sincere. So I was telling you, sharing you an event, the topic has expanded, but alhamdulillah, beneficial points we've discussed today, alhamdulillah. You understand what I'm saying or not? You don't understand. I'm not wasting your time, am I? Because your time is precious, I keep on just talking. So there was an individual, he passed away, and this was the era, the generation of Hazrat Bayazid Bastami, rahmatullah. This is where I start, isn't it, in the beginning? Yes, yes. Yes, so that story, we continue. So this person passed away, and after passing away, dying, what happened is that next step, what happens? Tell me, after dying, because this dunya is gone. When you die, muntaqil, he became muntaqil. Yes, intiqal took place, he died, just like you're in Bolton, and you're going to India, Pakistan, and after 8 hours, the whole environment changes. The language changes, culture, foods, dishes, your feelings, your emotions. After 7 hours flight, doesn't it? You change your environment, the wind, the air. What did you do? So this person, he passed away, died. What about the person who permanently migrates from this dunya to the next? Tell me the difference that person will experience. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. The eyes of a person opens up suddenly when he passes away. Ooh, the world's disappeared. It's just like you don't know, where have I gone? Where have I got to? Totally different world. Just within moments, just within a shake of the body, person who passed away, he's done his intaqal, he's muntaqil. You know, we say uska intaqal ho gaya, inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. We say, when a person passed away in Pakistan, we don't say that, no, we're still in the dunya, people say, muntaqil. So a person permanently passed away when he departs from this world. When you go to another part of the world, you come back, that's temporary. But when you depart from this world, when you die, you've gone. So that person died, and after dying, immediately something happens when a person dies, is that a person is presented to Allah. Yes, the angels, they come to the grave and they present the records and they present to Allah. So here, Pious Elders have written, There are two types of presentation to Allah of that individual. One is in the realm of example. For example, with the examples a person presents to Allah. One is the person that once he passes away, maybe it's a bit technical, I'll explain. There are two types. The one is the example of a person's body. And one is the physical reality, the physical body. So when a person dies, then Allah Ta'ala, first that person is presented to Allah as an example in the first phase. And the physical body on the day of judgment, that will be presented, the physical real body. So the first time when a person dies and when he passes away, then his spiritually he's presented, Allah, his deeds are presented, then the decisions made, and then he is treated in the way of heaven and hell temporarily while he's passing through the grave. That's temporary. There are two jannahs. One is that jannah, which is the real jannah. After the day of judgment, a person will get permanently. Permanently. But after dying, when Allah takes the first presentation of that person, did you understand? When these examples are presented to Allah, Allah makes an initial decision, because we are to arrive there, so we need to learn this. Yes? So when a person passes away and his deeds are presented and his examples, and Allah Ta'ala gives that initial decision that he's successful, give him Jannah, that Jannah is made. There's already a Jannah made. It's not the real Jannah, but it's an example of Jannah. So a person is sent there during the phases before Barzakh, in the grave and Barzakh. In the same way, there's hell that he may get. So that individual, that when he died and when his deeds and his body was presented to Allah, when Allah Ta'ala saw that person, what he was and what he had done, he stood there, that person, and Allah Ta'ala looked at his deeds, his records, and after that Allah looked at the individual, and after looking at him, Allah said to the angels, Allah addressed the angels were stood there ready, hukum, Allah instruction, Allah said, go and send him to paradise. So he's successful. And that man, he said, what decision is this that Allah Ta'ala has made? That me, he sent me to paradise. He knew what he was. He said, Allah, in my life, I've not done any good action due to which I should not even get punishment. That all my life I was disobedient. Allah, I disobeyed you. Every action, all deficiencies were within me. And in the court of Allah, I'm stood in. And I know there's justice here. Allah Ta'ala does justice. He can do what he wants and say what he wants. But what has decisions been made here in my favor? And he was thinking in a conundrum. He was assessing. Allah is Khabir Basir. He knows, he can see, he's aware. Allah Ta'ala, he said, Allah, can you permit me to speak? Can I speak, Allah? Allah said, yes, speak. He said, Allah Ta'ala, most high, I know myself that there was no one more disobedient than me around me, and you have bestowed Jannah to me, given Jannah to me. Subhanallah, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That this is increasing our hope and our encouragement. Why are we quiet? Maybe it's because we're thinking we're going to be that person. So hear a point you need to hear. Very good point comes up here. That the human being should never lose hope. Never lose hope. I've done this sin, that wrong. I've done this, I've done that. Don't lose hope. Never lose hope. Because always have hope in the decision of Allah. That we are going to Allah. Who is He that we are going to? Allah, the Creator. What action will He take? Focus on that. The human being. That this is not a court of a human being, some judge from somewhere. It's to Allah we will be presented in His court. Okay, we made mistakes, fair enough. So what happened then? Allah said, yes, speak. He said, Allah, what is this decision that please explain to me so I can understand? Jannah you sent me to, but Allah wasn't capable of Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, thou my servant, O man, let me remind you of something. He said, yes, Allah. He said that all your deeds, when I looked at them and your amal, all of them were a waste. But I saw one action of yours. Due to that action, you became my beloved servant. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. One action of yours. Yes, sir. That we, for example, let's look at ourselves. How many actions that we can do, but we leave something thinking, oh no, yaar, I'm sinful. Forget doing this. What's the point of doing this? That's what we think. Regularly, commonly people do this. Shaitan, how he influences people, he creates whispers in their minds and hearts that a person can do an action. For example, that he hasn't prayed till our friend's going, Jummah. He doesn't want to pray, but he's a friend with another person. He says, come on, yaar, let's go to eat. He says, but he prays Jummah, that person. And so he becomes his friend. He says, come on, yaar, let's go and pray Jummah today. He says, in my life, I haven't prayed Jummah, my life, but I have no link with that. Shaitan says, no, don't do the rather. You should say that this Jummah may get my forgiveness. This Friday prayer. So never, when you desire to do good, Allah Ta'ala gives you a chance, an opportunity to practice and pulls you, brings you, and everything else is a waste in comparison to that. So what we should do is totally don't lose hope 100%. Rather, practice that action. Implement the action that maybe this action will be successful. And this story proves this. Allah says all your actions were a waste, but one action of yours that you did was such that you became my beloved servant. Subhanallah. He said, Allah, is it? He said, Allah, can I ask another question? Allah said, yes. Allah, I can't remember what is that action. Insan doesn't remember the human being. Remember, sometimes a person's doing very good, but shaitan makes him do such an action that he takes him to hell. So here the pious predecessors have said that always, always, always save yourself also from the bad things. Also be fearful of the bad things. No, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. And the same way that don't let a good opportunity to go to waste, and don't let the sins overcome you also if you're doing good most of the time. So he said, Allah, I can't remember that amal that I did that you remember. Allah, please have mercy on me. If I've done such a good thing, Allah, please remind me what was that good action I did. Subhanallah. Look here, just a point. What was that amal? The Allah Ta'ala became so happy with him. That what action did Allah allow him to do? What was that amal he did? Subhanallah, subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. Allah Ta'ala said, okay, I'll explain to you, I'll tell you, I'll remind you what you did. Allah said, there was a friend of mine, a very beloved friend of mine, Walid, and his name was Bayazid Bastami, rahmatullah alayhi. And he suddenly became alerted. He said, Allah said, do you remember his name? He said, yes, 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 Allah, I heard his name, I heard his name. Allah says, okay, do you remember that now story? What happened? He said, Allah, yeah, I can remember something now. But that was just a minor thing, Allah, that I did. But for you, it was minor, Allah says. The event was such that he was my friend, Bayazid Bastami. Allah's reminding this person now. And he came to your town, my friend, Bayazid Bastami, and the people of that area to see him to do his ziyarah. They arrived to his company, to his midst. And the friend of Allah's come, Bayazid Bastami, let's go and see. Because that was his generation, Bayazid Bastami. He was the Wali Allah of that time. The Wali Allah of that time, then he has that pull like a magnet. People come to him, even if they don't know him, even if they don't know him, just come to shake your hand. They say, we just want to do musafa. We came to do your ziyarah, see your blessed face. We were passing by, we thought we'd see you. Why? Because they don't know that this is their source of forgiveness, the luggage of their forgiveness. Just to look at a Wali Allah, just to look at a Wali Allah does not go to waste. Remember this. Remember this. I'm telling you this story. True story. So as a Bayazid Bastami, Allah says, he came to you. He said, yes, he came. And everyone in that place, and you also were going there, and you also thought that, what is this group of people? Where they're going? They said, we're going to see Wali Allah. And you also looked at him. And then you really liked it when you saw him. You liked him. I'm Khabir and Basir. And I know that you enjoyed and you liked it when you looked at my Wali Allah. And you asked someone, who is this person? And I'm enjoying, I'm really liking looking at this. And they said, this is Bayazid Bastami. He said, oh, Bayazid Bastami, this is him? You said this. Acha, his name is Bayazid Bastami. And with surprise, and with love, and with surprise, you were taken aback. You said, this is that person? This is the Wali Allah. Sometimes a person says that, doesn't he? He reacts like that. And with such love and affection, you recited his name and you paid attention to him. Allah said, just because of that, I made you my beloved servant. Just because of that. And it's not today I'm announcing. At that time, Allah said, I announced that, wait, when this servant of mine comes back to me, forgive him because he looked at the face of my wali with love. So my friends, look at the glory of the wali Allah, the mashayikh. This is proven from the hadith. Proven. That the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah, such great people, a person who sits in the company can never lose out. Can never lose out. The person who sits in the company can never lose out. He is forgiven. He is forgiven. So here the pious elders have stated, why do you make enmity with the walis of Allah, with the mashayikh? So those people are given nasiha now, advice. At least see this point. That what is your objective of being in opposition to them? When the people of the world take benefit from them, then this means that shaitan has surrounded you, influenced you. Shaitan wants to confuse you. that from this path I don't want him to reach to Allah. So the shaitan instills hatred in your heart for the Waliullah for no reason at all. For no reason. Oh, look at him, look at his face, look at his actions. Oh, this is happening, or this is not right. Negative thoughts. Don't do this. For example, if your heart does not match with someone, fine, just step back. But don't criticize the Wali Allah, because you are igniting Jahannam for yourself. Yes, you have to be extremely cautious in this matter. If you can't take benefit, foolish man, from a Wali Allah, then why are you displeasing Allah? Why are you in opposition to the beloved Wali of Allah? What pain is he giving to you? But because shaitan wants you to go to Jahannam. So what shaitan does, he injects bad thoughts in your mind without any reason. No objective, no giving, taking, no hisab kitab between you and him. No relationship. Look at him, look at his work of the deen, look what he's doing now, look at their faces, look at his murids, look at his students. No reason at all he's criticizing. And today it's a fashion to look down, criticize, snarl. Be cautious. Be cautious. If you can't do good actions, if you can't praise Salah, but at least have love with the walis of Allah, at least you can do that, can't you? Or can't you even do that? Or can't we even do that? There's some wali of Allah, his story is being shared, like Hazrat Bayazid Bustami, I just discussed that with you. So you should have love in your heart. Allah, what a beautiful insan he was. And if you want to take more benefit from him, then a beautiful thing's being shared, that when you pray Fajr Salah, that, oh, we heard about the story of this Wali Allah, then read Surah Ikhlas 3 times and say, Allah, give the swab of this to that Wali Allah. I swear by Allah and say this, that this is such a great action you cannot imagine, that you will get a great, great return on that action of yours from Allah. When you become in this world a khadim of the Wali Allah, do you know what the status of that person? The word is khidmat, serving the Wali Allah, but really that person's a king. Really, if he is not running after dunya for his service. The biggest honor in the Khanqah is given to who? Who is the Khadim of the Sheikh. You know that's the biggest rank of the person in the Khanqah. Yeah. And a special select person, every person can become like that person. Allah Ta'ala gives them that special capacity that they can do this duty. Allah instills a quality into them. Adab. Adab. Comportment, manners. Look, Hazrat Khwaja Masoom, because this is tasawwuf, so some points I'm sharing with you so you can understand. Hazrat Khwaja Masoom rahmatullah, great wali Allah, great sheikh in the history of Islam. You know, he's in our silsila, in our chain of our walis of Allah. Yes? So he wrote that adab of tariqah, if you cannot complete that, then rather than benefit, you will carry loss. You've gone, you have got bayah, you're doing dhikr, but you don't have adab tariqah, you don't have the manners of tariqah. The first step on the path of the tasawwuf is adab of the sheikh, manners of the sheikh. Comportment. For yous, blessings, barakat, to open the doors for yous, the first step on the ladder is adab. The human being who has adab, only he can pull on the face. The one who is disrespectful can never arrive to Allah. Can never. Remember this point. This is research on this point. A disrespectful student can never get to Allah. Another story of Hazrat Bayazid of disrespect. He was sat once. And a sheikh, you know, there's the habit of a wali wala. For some reason, he spread his legs out. Murid was sat there. He saw the sheikh put his legs out. He put his legs out as well, spread his legs out. The student. And I, for example, I was also always fearful. I was a minor person. I wasn't like this. I was trained. Nobody trained me about manners of the sheikh and adab. I didn't know. Bi'idhnillah, it was just Allah's rahmah and mercy and the witness. So in my heart, I never in my life, never did I come in front of my sheikh or cross pass his way in the Masjid Nabwi, in front of the Haram Sharif. I didn't want to sit right next to him, in front of him. I had the khawf and fear and respect for my sheikh. I couldn't imagine. Always I would be behind. Even I was near to him, but behind him, my heart had this, not that Sharia or Islamic law, this is a law or principle. No, just out of fear and respect, that I don't want to do something out of disrespect. So never in my life did I sit in front of him 80, 70 years, the connection, the company, Makkah or Medina, wherever I was, I was always behind him physically. Never in front of him. My heart could not imagine that I'd go in front of him, such Jalal and Jamal. These are the words of the heart. So much, mashallah, Hazrat, his effect had overcome me, that I could not even imagine that I will speak with him directly. How would I present? I used to go and do ziyarah. For weeks I would sit, believe me, maybe difficulty, I'd say 1 or 2 words in front of Hazrat Sahib. Maybe that's how much, subhanAllah, all there was of azab in me. But I would not return empty handed. Alhamdulillah. Why? Because I'm telling you, it's the wajjah, the focus of the shaykh. If you sat behind the teacher, completely the shaykh's wajjah is upon you. His focus. But if you're disrespectful, so he spread his legs out. So Hazrat, after a while, he put his legs back in. But the murid, until death, he could not realign his legs, his feet. He couldn't. This is the story of Hazrat Bayezid Bastami, rahmatullah. He recorded this. So adab is the first step on the ladder, where a person is disrespectful, a student. And today is a modern environment and age wherein these words I'm sharing with you, people say, oh, look, this is extreme and fuzul, waste of time talk. Why is he saying this to us and wasting time? For this reason, today, people, it's very difficult for them to get to Allah because there's a lot of drama. I tell you the truth. There's a lot of drama and deception. And why are people lost today? Why is it difficult for us? Because the adab of tariqah, we have rejected them. Rejected that. Today we meet with the shaykh because dunya is in between us. We speak and the hands come out. We're joking with them and laughing, sit together and eat. We don't even know that in between that there's respect, laughing loudly, gossiping, and shaykhs up and the students there. And come, let's sit together and do this and that. And there's no awe, no effect, no manners, no respect because the fairs has gone. So instead, before, first he said, in his maktubat he wrote that that student cannot arrive, he cannot get the fairs of Allah. He doesn't know that the manners, the adab of the shaykh. Look at the verse of the Quran where Allah Ta'ala said to the sahaba, beware in front of my Nabi, don't raise your voices. Allah says to the sahaba, adab is being taught to the sahaba. The adab between the shaykh and the murids, the shaykh and the students, beware, beware. Do not even make your voices louder. Keep your voices low. Low. What's the punishment? If you don't do this correctly, such a big punishment. Allah says all your deeds will go to waste, will evaporate, and after evaporating your deeds, you won't even know that where have they gone. You won't be able to do tawbah. And who were being told this? Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu, Hazrat Uthman, Hazrat Ali, Talha, Zubair, such great, great sahaba, Badri sahaba. All the amals put to one side. Adab is such a great, great fact for a mu'min. Adab, manners, and there's no mujahidah for adab. Yes, to follow this path of the deen, there's no mujahidah. The biggest mujahidah is that standing, sitting in the company of the shaykh, learn the manners with your teacher. The adab, the manners. Otherwise, we don't realize we're going the right path. But when will we realize? When the human being dies, he was disrespectful, or did he have adab? Just like I said to you, that person he departed, who with love he looked at Hazrat Bayezid Bustami. But Allah Ta'ala wrote in the kitab that he has manners. And after dying, the reward was given to him. Subhanallah. So this is the caution we need to adopt. This is the path of Allah. It's not a sugar mill cycling round and around. That Allah says a fantastic path, very easy if you take the principles and follow them. And these are the mujahidat, no other mujahidah. That all night long do ibadah, keep fast, stand in qiyam. And this is not the asool here to arrive to Allah Ta'ala's nearness. Because these things have ended now, khankahs have finished now. Because this is the situation, where are the khankahs? There's no khankah, no environment of khankah. There's no people who know how to spend time. We don't have time to spend time with the shaykh. All those things are finished. So this path, these paths have ended. Finished. The path of tasawwuf has ended. In effect, but alhamdulillah, even then Allah Ta'ala prepares. And such gatherings Allah Ta'ala, He assembles people together. And such words have come out that I couldn't even think myself, alhamdulillah, about tasawwuf. That if they recorded, then listen to them. Very beneficial and fresh points that I've discussed with you today. And these are points to do amal on and practice on. So may Allah Ta'ala give to us all the capability to practice upon these. Life and time, don't waste them, my friends. Understand your real objective. And to please Allah, spend your time in pleasing Allah. If you've pleased Allah, then you've got success. If you please your nafs-based desires, then you get nothing. If you live your life with the nafs, look, such a big point. As a Thanvi sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi, somebody recited a couplet, a verse in front of him, that a moment in the company, what was that couplet? Yes. What he said was that going to a wali Allah, one moment, just for 10 minutes, sitting with the wali Allah, 5 minutes is enough. I say even for a few seconds if you sit with the wali of Allah, They stated that 100 years of worship, this few seconds is better than 100 years of worship. Somebody said, Hazrat, that this is some... somebody presented this as a doubt to Hazrat Thanvi Sahib. He was an alim, scholar. He said that how can a person do ibadah 100 years? How can that person be better that he's just spent a few moments in the company of a wali Allah and that he's greater and this person's nothing who's done 100 years of ibadah? Hazrat Thanvi Sahib said passionately that let me explain this to you. 100 years was wrong. What he said, rather say 100,000, 1 million years is better, is less. That person's few moments in the company of the Wali Allah. You talk about 100 years. I say, Hazrat Thanvi Sahib said, Ashraf, that 100,000 years, a million years, even if you have that, the few moments is better, because that 100 years or thousands of years ibadah is done, he won't have that quality of acceptance to Allah. But those few moments he spent in the company of the Wali Allah, with the khalas he will have spent that, and that will be accepted. Qabool. Yes, so don't look at quantity for acceptance. Look at ikhlas, sincerity. Those salah where you don't have ikhlas, they'll be thrown back in your face. The fast will be thrown back in your face. The hajj will be thrown back in your face. But that ibadah, one ibadah you've done, one worship, one salah. Just like that story I told you, one smile and looking at a person with ikhlas for the sake of Allah will take you into Jannah, into paradise. So where do we arrive? What do you? So he said, yes, you get it from the company of the wallah. That's why I stated that to sit in the company of the Wali Allah and he follows the path of ikhlas, that will give him better than thousands of years. He knows how to pray salah, but he doesn't know how to improve Islam, get it accepted. He doesn't know how to get, he knows how to pray salah, but he doesn't know how to get accepted. That's why he goes to the Wali Allah's company. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability, and we need to strive and work hard on this path, grab hold of it, and follow this path with ikhlas, and crush your own ego, your nafs and your base desires. And life Allah has given to us for this objective. Allah has given life for this objective. Allah says, that please me. May Allah Ta'ala give us that power and capacity and energy. Was Allah's path open? Ask and ask and keep on asking from Allah. Allah, give us your path. Allah, give us your qurb. Allah, give us your love. Give us your radha, your pleasure and acceptance. These should be our main du'as all the time to Allah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Recite the rushri.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد نبي أمي وزوجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وحصلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا اهدنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واشهدنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم بارك لنا في الموت ومما بعد الموت اللهم عين على مرات الموت وسكرات الموت اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا يا قاضي الحاجات اكتحاجاتنا يا غافي المهمات اتفى مهماتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفى مرادنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمي اللهم عافنا في بصري ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم دمرهم هما ربياني صغيرا يا الله ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين.